in fact, out shopping and buying during the midsummer.
Investing, renting, sending your kid to college? Listen to the Marketplace Money Podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The government's reading on consumer spending has gone up the most in 7 months. Retail sales are up 0.2% in July. Let's check in with Bill Stone, Chief Investment Strategist at PNC Financial Services Group, on this one. Morning, Bill.
Good morning.
So beyond that headline figure, what do you see in the government's reading on retail sales for July?
Well, a couple things. One is the headline is probably a little misleading in the sense that it was probably a little stronger than that. So one is if you strip out autos, which we got a little bit of a give back from a really strong number last month, you actually see some pretty good strength underneath in the retail sales number that actually goes into GDP. You know, we would say that it certainly supports kind of our estimates that third quarter GDP will come in above 2% this quarter.
And combing through this report, I see people went into hardware stores.
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the things I would say, too, is it certainly supports the notion that housing continues to recover and you're seeing people putting significant money into home remodeling projects.
And we've grown accustomed to the Nikkei stock index in Japan jumping around radically day to day, but up 2.6% today. Why do you suppose?
One was they got a number on machine orders that was much better than expected, but then there was a couple other policy actions. So one is a rumor of them possibly delaying their sales tax hike, and lastly that their Prime Minister Abe is considering a cut in the corporate and investment taxes.
Bill Stone, Chief Investment Strategist at PNC Financial Services Group, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Mexico's President Enrique Peña Nieto has just announced he wants to end his government's monopoly on oil production. He's hoping to amend Mexico's constitution to allow in international oil companies to help tap huge amounts of fossil fuel that state-run Pemex hasn't been able to exploit. Marketplace's Sabri Benishore has more on what that means for the U.S.
Right now, if the Mexican government needs help drilling for oil and gas, and it does need help, especially in deep water drilling and shale, it'll pay outside oil companies a fee. Thing is, oil companies haven't really been that interested in Mexico's fees. Phil Flynn is an analyst with Price Futures Group.
Mexico is sitting on a mountain of supply of both oil and gas, but yet their production has been falling year after year.
So the idea now is to attract companies by letting them share in the oil profits. If that works, 87 billion barrels of oil could come to market. Chris Lowe is chief economist with FTN Financial.
It should result in cheaper, more abundant energy, which is beneficial to U.S. consumers, of course, through lower gas prices, but also U.S. manufacturing.
And that means improved competitiveness. This doesn't, of course, address environmental costs of all that carbon. In any case, this all supposes that Mexico's oil will come online. Sovereign control over oil is a point of pride in Mexico, and letting go of that won't happen without a fight. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore for Marketplace.
Looking for a good read? Visit the Big Book blog at marketplace.org. Listen to author interviews and read excerpts from the Marketplace bookshelf. Online at marketplace.org/thebigbook.
It's the season for the state fair, time of year for food on a stick and a chance for kids to interact with agriculture. But fewer young people are growing up to be farmers, and more is expected of them in the classroom these days. As Sarah McCammon reports, that is fueling an interesting debate between state fairs and schools.
Most contests at the Iowa State Fair are about picking the best cow or the nicest looking pig. But this one is about sounding like an animal. Dozens of kids fidget and whisper as they wait for their turn at the Youth Rooster Crowing Contest. Fair manager Gary Slater says competitions for children are at the heart of the fair tradition, but organizers have to pack as many as they can into the first few days.
And then we're really devoid in that area of youth participation, youth activities, and family activities in the second half of the fair.
That's because most Iowa districts go back to school before Labor Day, some while the fair is still going. Sports and music practices start even earlier. Tourism industry leaders want to make it harder for schools to do that.
Marla Calico is the director of education at the International Association of Fairs and Expositions. She says similar debates are going on in states like Minnesota and Indiana, where school start dates can make it hard for kids to take part.
They are agricultural fairs. That's at the heart of their mission. And to restrict this segment of the population from participating, it's a challenge.
But school districts say there's so much pressure on students to perform well on tests, they need all the classroom time they can get. Veteran English teacher Deidre Stanton of Mason City, Iowa, has been working with students through the summer to prep for advanced placement tests next May.
Then if you don't start till the 1st of September, you can be 3 to 4, sometimes even 5 weeks behind where other schools and students who are taking the same test are.
So why don't state fairs just start earlier in the summer? Gary Slater of the Iowa State Fair says that would create conflicts with county fairs, which are mostly in July.
They like to have carnivals. They like to have food concessions. And there are only so many of those to go around.
Slater says it's not just about lost revenue. With all the teenagers back in school, it's harder to find ticket takers and parking attendants to work at the state fair. In Des Moines, I'm Sarah McCammon for Marketplace.
And there's quite a grand corporate takeover story in the news. Steinway, the grand dame of piano companies, is still looking very attractive to suitors after 160 years. The private equity firm Kohlberg already has an offer in to buy Steinway. Now someone else has appeared bearing roses for the diva, hedge fund man John Paulson, with a rival bid of $475 million. Early this morning, investors seemed to be discounting the idea of a further bidding war, and Steinway's stock opened down. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.